interrupting the current neo-Euronial climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism, especially in New Zealand now, you hear, to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 508, as we continue the saga of our demise, if we don't step up. I mean, I don't know what we're going to actually do. People are amazed, folks. They're just bombshell, I hear now. The military is involved with this COVID-19. So those of you behind the woodshed, you've been hearing this for a long time, even before Op Hindsight 2020. We got to get beyond this really quickly as a society. Again, I don't think this thing stops. Thank you to the emailers commenting about this. You see it coming and rolling. It's still rolling. The underlying lying of the government is not stopping. You can talk about WEF, that's just a puppet show going on that's showing you that it's there, but it's already metastasized in your country. What they haven't quite yet got, and this is the thing that I'm concerned with, and they're doing it already, they're changing it, have been altering it, is all those policies that are foreign to you are inside your laws already, waiting to be executed, particularly more on the rules side. The rules can be promulgated until they're challenged or valid, and no one knows the rules have kind of brought in the foreign influence that has no bearing on what happens locally, in particular for healthcare in the United States, at least, because of the way the thing is structured, that power was not reserved to the federal government. So whenever you hear the federal government talking about health issues, it's either for the municipality, the district of Washington, D.C., or it doesn't apply outward. It is only a suggestion. That's what you have to start seeing as they adjust this thing and bring in new rules and get the legislatures to cut their own throats. And they'll say it's handing the jurisdiction over to the international view, but it's really you just cutting your throat and not holding to the due process you needed as a people local to your state. But we do get this coming out, and they're getting closer, folks. They're not quite right on, but they're close. Court rules COVID vaccine mandate for health workers null and void. Coming out of New York Supreme Court, which last week struck down the COVID vaccine mandate for healthcare workers, holding the state's health department lacked the authority to impose the mandates. Now, they have a little bit different thing going on where apparently the legislature actually pulled that authority from them early on. So be careful not to extend what I've said too far into this. However, you see authorities required. You see the jurisdiction is required. You see in this story, and I'll only touch lightly, you can read it and see what the basics are. They talk about competency. Well, I talk about the jurisdiction. You don't have a jurisdiction, you don't have the competency. All right. So the words are a little bit altered here, but they are what I've been talking to you about. The court came in and said and ruled that the state's mandates were arbitrary and capricious on the basis of COVID-19 vaccines do not stop transmission of the virus, thereby eliminating any rational basis for such a policy. So what is that court talking to? Rational basis? Why would it even have a rational basis? Well, they're impliedly talking about this communicable disease code. This court doesn't say it. It just kind of talks in legalese talk. COVID-19 vaccines do not stop transmission by local communicable disease law. Cannot be a vaccine. So in this story from the Children's Health Defense Network, their case, actually, they funded the money for this case. They showed that there is an arbitrary and capricious imposition. What they didn't show, and what this is the other problem you have to look at, this case did not actually attack what I've been saying you need to attack, which is their so-called competency didn't exist from the beginning. Whether it was the police power of the governor that did not demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency for the emergency, or relative to the communicable disease code, which is specifically named here, it's a health emergency, that it was only presumptive and not determined, actually, and not determinable. So there's still some more position here that I want you to see. The very important lawsuit, nonetheless. They go and explain something here near the bottom of it. It's a real short story, a report. Moreover, it said the ruling may impact other similar cases nationwide, according to Gibson, who's one of the people who are responding to this. Quote, the judge struck down the mandate for two reasons. The first basis that the NYSDOH lacks authority to issue any vaccine mandates under the state constitution and state public health law is precedential, mostly in New York State. Second, The second basis, however, is applicable nationwide. That is, what is irrational, arbitrary, and capricious to mandate a vaccine that cannot stop people from getting infected and spreading COVID-19? Close quote. Now, I want to just point out, if you look carefully, this is a lack of full understanding of what's going on. Certainly, I can pick it up in the second. The national application is not through the federal court decision. It's because the local disease law, all local communicable disease law, require the rational, non-arbitrary and capricious treatment, mitigation of a found, a demonstrated infectious agent. So, but the first one is in the same class. The lack of authority to mandate is what I've been talking more. They never did the five duties or so, six, whatever it is in your state, in order to, on an individual basis, case by case, folks, this is what's supposed to be, not blanket either. Case by case, local communicable disease law required the local official to do things that were not done, so they never, ever get to the point where we get to have competency. And in this case, if I haven't seen their evidence, you're going to look at it. What I would suggest is, those of you going into the future, because I really don't think this is going away. This is the tack that they've taken. This is I told you, the most difficult way that the most difficult path of the society can defend itself on was this medical emergency thing. They went there, and so here we are. I think they're going to continue to push the bad road because they're not getting the right response. But your response would be, in the evidence that the vaccine, so-called, whatever that treatment was, the injection was, did not prevent, I would do that as an alternative. If the court is to find that they have done the first duties of the official, in other words, determine non-fraudulent exigency, someone had it, they give all the due process. If the court determines that that has been done, in the alternative, we then say, and we offer this proof, that they're not, these treatments don't prevent as is required of this the local health official to commit to. And so that it also is not stop transmission is another point. So do this treatment stuff in the alternative. And I'm only talking to those that are listening to me that may feel that this is something they need to prepare for in the future and be aware of, at least, in how to address this. Because you're still going to have some fallback lines if this thing, because legislatures are changing the law to include the so-called pandemic, that private term of a foreign influencer, my concern is this thing's not going away, and you're going to have to be able to get around that part, because they'll just take this presumptive illness and run roughshod over everybody as this existential threat when it's not. The local law won't allow it. So great case as far as just the report of it. I don't want to undermine any of it because, again, you have your rights back there. You were shown to be, you lost your jobs wrong. In New York, you're going to have, those of you that want to go back into the field, you're going to have to, apparently this article says you have to reapply. This isn't a win for the workers, so to speak, but they get to reapply, and apparently you have a great need, so the odds of getting a job back may be good if that's what you want to go back into. Just offering a bit of that. But here we have the standards I was telling you about coming back from a court finally, even as misstepping as it might be, to show you there is standards. There is something that was supposed to be met, even if it's not as much as I would say you should press. We do see that a court can respond when given the proper case, or the more proper case, which hasn't been done. Up until this case, we haven't seen this kind of words. Well, we did. Two cases, we saw some of the words come back, but not in a full, they were admitting to the COVID-19 pandemic as being something. And that was the problem with those cases. Even here, you see that they call them COVID-19 vaccines. They should not have been designated like that until they were shown to prevent. Then you could actually go, if the state wants to go there, then we're going to actually bring open that these are actually bioweapons, if your case is strong enough. And that the duty was on the duty of the official to arrest those that are offering a biotoxin as a mitigation measure. And so your state law then prevails, even you just press the federal. The state law, the federal can't interfere because this is a prerogative of the state court, the health issue. And then you get to use those, the state would do this, would get to use those federal laws for showing that the exception's not met under Title 50 and that the Title 18 Bioterrorism Crimes Act, it comes into bear, and the state could probably pull that for. I say probably because I'm seeing they're just corruption through the judiciary. There's an assault on us, a grave, as they say, a grave assault. We move on to the next story here, and showing you just how feeble our system has become. Grave assault on U.S. judiciary goes unpunished. They don't worry about the grave assault that just happened on the whole society, the whole globe, but in particular, these judicial people haven't seen the grave assault upon the people of the United States, where there was no warrant for any of it. The grave assault on the U.S. judiciary goes unpunished. Investigators were unable to identify the culprit who leaked the draft of the Dobbs decision to Politico after months of investigation. Who may have leaked the draft of a verdict that reversed this decades of precedent on abortion? The U.S. Supreme Court announced on Thursday that the culprit could not be found. We read through this story. It's kind of what interested to me, not to me, but me, was that these are maybe the highest, the best, and the brightest to go after investigators, to go after this, and they still couldn't find whoever did it, which I just was marveled at that. There's someone that knows the system so well that they covered their tracks fairly, really well at this point, very, very, very well. And so the court comes out with a statement described the leak as one of the worst breaches of trust in history and a grave assault on the judicial process. They can say that, folks, but the grave assault, the worst trust breach in history has been against the people by these people. Not to diminish the fact that this is a detriment to the internal workings of a judiciary you would hope works. But you can't tell me a system where there's just ad hoc decisions on taking 1% of the cases to review injustices in this country after watching what the judiciaries of this country do is justice and the best we can do. There is no trust. And we better come to terms with about a lot of that and start to figure out how we're going to adjust ourselves relative to these things. So the grave assault to judiciary, overlooking the grave assault to the people, is really just more of the proof that our system has failed and we can't trust in it. However we're going to turtle up, how we're going to protect ourselves now, first has to be locally. How we move out to this bigger thing is going to be a little bit more discussion, and we're going to have to find ways to communicate with each other in order to get that to work out. As another grave assault happens, now in Kentuckistan, last 2 years ago now, apparently, guards cleared here in hospital death of Stephanie Warner. Here's the footage no jury will ever see. And it's pretty sad, but someone was half wearing a mask, and they got attacked by some guards at the hospital. The camera conveniently pans away while they stifle her out, just choke her out. And then you see her body being wheeled away in a chair and into a room. And the surprise move by the judge means trials now won't happen, leaving the family blindsided. Danielle Stephanie Warner sits alone in a Toronto hospital lobby wearing little more than a pale blue medical gown. Moments later, she's wheeled away by guards, her slight frame slumped in a wheelchair, her legs dangling at the edge. What happens in between isn't captured on video. No wonder why, folks. Any rate, there's no justice here. Grave assault against the people on something that's a fraud and could have been declared so early on. I'm not trying to insult anybody to say the people failed themselves. We failed ourselves. And we failed ourselves in not a way to exonerate those that would, these so-called guards. Guards of what? But guards, they say. Where was the due process ahead of this? That we come, I told you, it was going to come 2.5-3 years later before people start to see what I was telling you early on. And that's really not even new news. I told you about the pig's fly flu back in, 2009 or 2010, whenever that was. This is the tack that the assault is taken by foreigners, those domestic and foreign. But in Kyrgyzstan, the grave assault against our people is everywhere. And these guards aren't going to go to justice. And you have to start looking at that, folks. I don't know what more to say. You can't just turn away after you see this. I don't know what you do when you have a judiciary that backs this stuff up. But this is where we are. It takes a very particular set of people, I guess, to pull together a case where you even start to come to some more proper terms, as we saw in the first article here. Relative to what I'm trying to show you, that there is the mechanisms that I told you, the things that are there in the law are there. The words, when they finally start popping out, are readily recognizable about the justice that should have been done. But also notice there's no justice. All this happened instead of the challenge up front. It happened after, and then only partially, because they don't get to the point where they're attacking the fact that this thing is a bioweapons attack. I have no There's no hesitation in my mind to say that. And when I tell people that, it's kind of funny how they're really not responsive. And I know people will respond, but they don't really respond to me. And I don't know why that is, because this is where the dialogue starts about how, okay, that's where we were, that's what we are. How do we get the communication out to where we don't allow this to ourselves and people like Stephanie Warriner do not die at the hands of guards that think they're doing something in the public interest? The travesty. And moving back to another broadcast, guarding their perception of themselves, we'll move on into the international sphere some more. Why did China remove the wolf warrior spokesman? And it seemed to me, as I brought up, for no reason, just saw a notice that this report was coming through about what China's been doing, looking at the perception management against it, and attempting to respond to that perception. China is gravely aggressive. They had their diplomat sitting there in this position who appeared to be aggressive to the world as a diplomat. But we saw that they were doing the study for over 10 years about this thing called discursive capital. And that's where the emotions rule over facts and truth in this post-truth era. And China's looking at that to see how they can reposition themselves. Well, in doing that, and now applying, we hear they're applying of what we talked about in the prior broadcast. Well, the question, why did China remove its wolf warrior, in quotes, and it has to do with this perception management condition. China has reassigned Zhao Lijian, known to the Western world as the face of Beijing's assertive, quote, wolf warrior diplomacy. The words wolf warrior, derived from a Chinese action movie, appear in virtually every media headline about the transfer with the BBC. The example explaining the term as confrontational, combative approach in diplomacy, a stark contrast to the previously restrained brand of Chinese diplomacy. So an analysis of this discursive capital, where the post-truth era is whoever can get the emotions stirred up in somebody will be who wins the day. China's moving into a new look, a new view. I found interesting this wolf warrior, if you understand what I've talked about in the past about behind the woodshed, the pathfinder that I was provided with what I do under the wolf clan, in a wolf clan view, you'll understand what they're talking, what China's talking about relative to what wolf clan does. And what I think they were trying to do is they're trying to be less confrontational. That's actually the opposite, find paths of diplomacy through. And the Western ideology picked it up and twisted it all around against them. The discursive capital says, we better get a hold of that. And they've immediately started to put that, and they're going to put someone else in. A very interesting dynamic going on here as the nations try to figure out how they're going to look more presentable in this new mental bipolar world and how they're going to go through. There is a shift going on. Pay attention to these things. Zhao Lijian may be left baying at the moon. I started to look that closely because we're in the new Chinese New Year, I think, about now, and why this is an interesting thing. Maybe y'all will have to go out and look at the night here. Okay, that's a little bit of a joke. Why the moon is suddenly closer to the earth than for 992 years, and what it means is an article you can read, and it's explaining this ultimate supermoon. It's the configuration of the solar system such that the moon hasn't been closer to the earth. This only happens over hundreds of years. That we are in a time, we're going to witness it our lifetime again. The interesting things what we witness in our lifetime, that the moon is in a new moon now. Remember, we're in a new moon phase. Is the closest it's ever going to be. So those of you who at night go out and look to see the new moon. Okay, that's the joke. Yeah, we can't see that. But anyway, on January 21st, 2023, the new moon will be precisely 21,561 miles from Earth, as reported. That's the closest it will come to our planet since the year 1030, the time of the Crusades, the Norman conquest of Britain, and early Viking settlements in North America. A certain ironically sometimes called Dark Ages, The ultimate supermoon also signals the beginning of the Chinese Lunar New Year and comes during a rare conjunction between Venus and Saturn that will be best viewed just after sunset in the southwest on Sunday, January 22nd. So you'll be able to see that, but see, a new moon is where the moon's on the other side of your night, and it's actually not hiding from the sun. And so that's the little bit of the joke. As I talk about stuff here behind Woodshed, look for the silence. Look for what's not stated. Look for the thing that's not apparent, but there. And this is the definition of that. We're going to go outside at night and look at the moon, the new moon, the closest that's ever been able to witness this. That doesn't happen for hundreds of years. And we get to witness the new moon being as close as it's ever been. Oh, wow. At a new Chinese New Year, as this the wolf warrior is going to be left baying to the new moon as we move on. Why did I go there after that, too? Was because last week I theorized we had a problem, and it was on the other side where the moon is actually seeing the sun. We don't see it at the night right now because it's on that we're facing the other way. But beyond that moon is a sun that way. And it's interesting, too, the facts for this. I just brought up a link that NASA put together. I was astonished. I don't know, understand these numbers too much, but the sun's volume would need 1.3 million Earths to fill it. The sun is large enough to hold 1.3 million Earths, as they estimate. Pretty interesting. That's not what I'm talking about either, because last week I talked about these flight scheduling, and they didn't know what was going on. Well, this week we have a little bit of an answer, but I still don't know, and I wanted to bring this thing up. That sun is into this new period of time. And I looked back and I said, well, what's going on with this? Is it possible? I mean, the theory was that maybe these solar flares were causing some trouble and no one's talking. The massive hidden sunspots blast out potential X-flare and the Earth will soon be in the firing line, was the story I found. The earliest of the new flares came out January 5th. And so this was starting out early on that there's pulses coming from this Earth, this sun. That's 1.3 million volume bigger than the Earth. A massive amount of energy coming off of this thing, even on the backside behind Woodshed. But I pointed to this. I just want to know, how does this work out with this potential? Do we have a potential that these Earth flares can really affect us? Why am I getting there? It was because of the self-reliance. We really have to start looking beyond us. The government's not. It's the guarding you. You're the prisoner. You're going to have to become more self-reliant against that and Mother Nature that's actually much more forceful. We can finally, they tell us now, notwithstanding this sun about their doing its X-flares, they say the government claims that it found a corrupt file that led the FAA ground stoppage. It was also found in the backup system. So they're refuting my little theory that maybe it was an X-flare, but what got me was that it was also found in the backup system. If it's not the X-flare, then we have all of a sudden, folks, they allow backups of bad files. They don't have backups that don't have bad files, which I found interesting in their system, just all of a sudden. But it may not be so all of a sudden. They were talking about there was two contractors that were involved in rewriting a file that apparently got messed up. But I responded to that. As they say, FAA says computer failure that grounded thousands of flights was caused by two contractors who introduced data errors into the NOTAM system, the Notice to Airmen system, and I responded to Blacklisted News Post. You can believe that, two government contract hackers. So I'm not buying some of this. If I'm wondering whether they got their messages screwed up, but here we got it didn't end with the United States, because what's going on in Canada's flight entry system goes hit by this similar outage after, and they call it outage in quotes, is after U.S. and Philippines airspace shut down last week. So, again, look at these anomalies and start to think we were under the, if it's hackers, they're not talking, and they were supposed to be protecting. They certainly don't want to show their soft underbelly. But do they have internal workings? Were there external attacks? Remember, the Colonial Pipeline got taken. All these attacks are going on. So is there something going on here? Should we be concerned? But I'm going to get back to that sun. That's a pretty big unit. Let's go back with the Philippines. There was a Philippines shutdown too? Yeah, sure. What was the cause of that? Well, it wasn't a database. But if you go find out, it was a horrendous. Well, again, these terms, I don't think, are just sensationalism. A horrendous. A power outage forces Philippines to suspend flights and shut airspace. Well, let's go back to that sun. what does the sun flares, what are their potential? They shut down power systems. In fact, Kanukistan, I think, suffered one back in the day, I should say, a big one, and they didn't know what caused it. Now, I don't have proof that on the 1st of January, the new year, the year of the rabbit coming on, rabbit hole probably, but the year of the rabbit for China coming on today, there was a horrendous power outage. We know these X-flares will take out power systems. Was there a big release of energy going on pulsing? As if you listen to the story, you read the stories, there was pulsing energy coming off the sun since then, at least. That, again, just want to put out, not just the hackers, the man-made this and that and the other, nature's out there. We're going to maybe take note, at least, as the sun starts to come alive and do its thing, and as it has, not that there's no fear, it's just understanding. Our digital lives could be taken out simply by a hacker, by even a contract worker, even if it wasn't a hacker, that misdirected his attack, right? Who knows? So, just want to point out, there's evidence of solar, there's just as much evidence here of solar interference, and I want only to say that that is, nature is probably more powerful in an ultimate fashion than man could be, and then man is by your consent, necessarily. So, we do have a bit of a choice there, where man is coming as we then get support that this energy was going across the South Pacific. Another story quickly here, and I'll move on. Previously hidden sunspots unleashes powerful X-flare solar class, causes radio blackout across South Pacific. So the radio blackout, these are not all big deals. This is what happens. Anybody who's on shortwave knows all about this too. But the interesting thing is that NASA found that this energy can go translate right to the ground through these conduits. And I just think it's fascinating. So at the time that the moon's as close as it can be, we start getting these X-flares, almost like a lens coming down and focusing things wonder, what do we want? Do we want to start keep getting on those planes? Is this going to continue happening? Is this an attack? Is this a setup by the government to make it look like it's an attack? I don't know, folks. You're the rabbit hole, I think, maybe. I don't want to get too deep in that. I'd rather say, let's stay out of the rabbit hole. Let's find what we already know, and let's act on that, because that, waiting around to get more bombshell evidence that the military is involved with COVID-19, like I've been seeing now, is the big deal, is not getting us anywhere. We're way behind here as a people. I just responded to somebody about that. If we want to keep sensationalizing our ignorance 3 years late, we're not going to get up against this and put a stop to any of it. You know, what am I kind of hinting along as we trip along here? But Moderna wants to quadruple the price of its COVID-19 vaccine, as hundreds die per day, a report out of RT. Now, they're not just doubling down, folks. They're quadrupling down as they can. The company has benefited from taxpayer-funded research and guaranteed contracts, but plans to price gouge Americans. I reported about that early on. They were actually going to, we told us they were 110. Well, now they're going to go to 130. The point being, they're trying to get their last little bits. They still call it it's still promoted as a vaccine. That first court case I talked about shows you that they're not, and they're arbitrary and capricious. So you're seeing all the things I've been telling you would come to bear if we had any sense left here, and we do, and that's encouraging to me, but we need to now embrace it in the proper way and understand these folks aren't going away. They got license to hurt people. They are allowed to continue to hurt people. They don't care about doing the grave assault upon the people or the grave harm. Irreparable harm. You'll hear that in the first story, where workers are irreparably harmed. That's equity talk. That's exactly where I've suggested that you need to go. The jurisprudence, the equity jurisprudence, is where you have to go. Irreparable harm. Without a remedy, that's extraordinary remedy. That's equity. I don't know what more to do. That's two elements right there. Public interest, there's the third. This is not hard to put together in a very short paperwork. But here we have it. They're going to go for broke here. They're quadruple. And they may go broke, whether go woke, go broke. These folks may go broke, but I don't know that they're going to do it on their own, and I think they're going to need some help. And what also we need, the grave insult to us and people generally, and the allowance of it, moving back over to another problem in the world, and a silencing of people. If you don't think the sudden death died suddenly is not silencing people, you know, censorship is silencing people. This is just a constant now attack. These subject matter areas are constant attacks against people, and the people are getting lost in all of that instead of saying, well, let's pull back a little bit and say, all that's happening for a reason. Do we want to go there? Being lost in the fog, if you will, the fog of war, whatever it is we want to euphemize this deception about. But Israel bans Palestinian flags. West Jerusalem's new national security chief has ordered the removal of terror flags from public places. So here we have a group of people that haven't actually perfected their right to be on a land who have imprisoned a bunch of people who actually may have more claim to the land. They lived on it, for sure. This organization called Israel, thinking it can ban a flag. Well, it can, because it can only do it, it'll do it with force, and the United States will back it up. And call it a terror flag is just indicative of what we've been living under. The cancel culture, the ability to, the discursive capital that's built. It could be a complete lie. But if they can feed into your perception, they can control your perception and feed into your emotion, they get to control what's going on. They do a really good job of all this. But to stand up, I found an insult. Who are you to shut down what they want to represent in flags? Flags, by definition, are military anyway. They're heraldry. And they go back to, at least for the United, the Western world look, they were announcing a military progression of a jurisdiction. And so to claim that you don't have the right to fly a flag and you call it terror is indicative that you're a terrorist, as Israel would be. So this is not starting to fly very well. I was happy to see a bit of this. I don't know how much farther it goes, but at least to counter these actions, as we see also Israel targeting the Palestinian foreign minister, the diplomat's permit was revoked in retaliation for asking the UN's International Court of Justice to opine on the Israeli occupation. His travel permit was taken. Again, taken by someone without jurisdiction, without actual authority, unless it's a war power. And they don't have that power, actually. And this is not going to, it portends not leading to the proper outcome. You watch this play out all throughout the world, in particular where the United States can be shown to be involved. Totally, it's unacceptable. All I can say is it's unacceptable how we proceed. The United States proceeds. Us as people kind of watch on and get into this. But Israeli targets Palestinian foreign minister. It'd be like your own government saying you can't. You have no right to travel, right? And I don't say that as a travel. You don't have a right to use your own roads. You, as the people who made those roads, don't have a right to use your own roads. And that's what you've been living under. If you think I'm talking different, you think I'm talking about Israel. No, we're looking at the United States of America and all the things that we gave up as people and continue to give up. And the few of us that step up have no support, have zero. Crickets. I mean, it's just crickets. And then a lot of that step up don't have, as I've shown you, you don't have the actual proper addressment within the black and white. We follow, again, our emotions on what we think was supposed to happen, and we're proceeding upon what we know that maybe just isn't so. And when we're told that, we get indignant, and we think that's the corruption. But that's not really the corruption. The corruption started in your misinterpretation and misapplication, and the occupier sits there just to accept that and to deny you. But, again, oppression is not something to be continued, as even this moving now from the baying wolf into, again, I appreciated the wolf diplomacy, the pathfinding diplomacy that China may have tried to do. And this is not to support China. I'm not supporting governments. I'm talking watch how the perception management works through what nations do to move themselves along. And there's these information battles going on, wars all the time. You know, the war against your mind is not something new. It wasn't something that a couple of people identified and said, oh, this is the war for your mind. This has been going on forever. It's just that they highlight it and people get sensationalized their ignorance about that's been going on forever, and we keep moving them in ignorance. We're behind all the time. But China urges, stepping up, China urges Israel to avoid provocations. You'd think they wouldn't have to be told, Israel wouldn't have to be told that. But no, they're just not there. They're Zionists. They're not who we think they are normally, most of us. most of us being the population, where, again, perception managed to believe this is all fine and dandy. They get to do this to other people. Beijing's new foreign minister says Chinese leaders are deeply worried about rising tensions between Israelis and Palestinians. Very interesting. New diplomacy, deeply worried. If you look carefully, that's an interesting diplomatic tact. And you have to come in with rest upon your authority before someone else and say, we're concerned, we're deeply worried, and hope that that's enough. It's not really, no force here at all. So we do see the so-called aggressiveness tempered here in the other report as China starts to apply what it found out about discursive capital. China's new foreign minister, King Yang, has wrapped up his first overseas trip by calling for Israel to avoid further provocations that could escalate heightened tensions with Palestinians. Quote, Israel should stop all incitement and provocations and avoid any unilateral action that might lead to aggravation of the situation. So as they were saying in the first article, moving on from the wolf, the misinterpretation and misperception management that the West did for the wolf path, we now hear the words of the more peaceful, let's get along and let's work to get along. And they're going to do that, folks. So don't underestimate what they're going to do here. And they're going to begin, if they're not already doing, I think they already have gained favor and influence because of this, what Russia went to. So they're going to go just the opposite of what the West, so-called West, the United States does. And so this is interesting. Avoid further provocation, admits China's position is they watch Israel as a provocateur. And so we got to kind of take note of that. That's going to rise to the top as Israel should not take revenge on Palestine for ICJ appeal, says UN Secretary General. And they, again, should not take. Well, there should have been no authority to take, and yet it continues to go. However, there's a vocal opposition now as we move into move what? Israel's really in NATO, de facto, if you will. We're going to hear that it's not so separate, and it's certainly beholden to the United States' largesse, even though it tries to make itself, and it will, I mean, it has, make itself a place in the world for being an economic powerhouse. In the type of technology that's coming into the world, it's anticipating all that. So I said, if you keep sitting back 3 years ago about bombshell, this is the military involved with COVID-19, you're going to lose it as a society. You're too far behind. Because we're actually like 20-something years behind that, 23 years if we go by 9/11. Anthrax started that. That's another health thing. See, it's all right there, but it actually started before that on this path. And so we're so far behind on anticipating, being the educated population that would take action. We are proving that we're not, as the United States of America. And I would say this is in any other country that has so-called the rule of law and democracy playing out. The people are not standing up where they need to and in their strength to call out abuse and oppression. And those that are essentially defenseless, but for what they can put together. Then I don't have any one way or the other. Let them work it out, but don't allow them to take away someone else's dignity as a people and call it defensive. We see that model lots of places, and it just foments it's provocative, and it foments more disagreement and division. And I would hope people are tired of this division globally. We can't really talk about it or deal with it globally, but we can set a mass mutual agreement among people of the world to move the people that supposedly make decisions on that are conducive to this new so-called global order and bring on a better order than the more perfect, what they call the more perfect union was not such in the United States, but the more perfect order that allows people to have at least self-dignity, if nothing else. I mean, there's got to be at least that to start with, and respect. But Israel should not take revenge on the Palestinian Authority, saying they're taking revenge. And this is coming from the UN. I'm glad to see this a bit, even if it's just a balancing thing. Time to start outing. People need to start outing where the failures are. We can't be surprised by the next bombshell sensational ignorance to promote our own ignorance of something. And I had to do that a little bit. Bombshell relative to the military action, military integration with COVID-19 is not bombshell to those of you listening behind a woodshed. It's just not. So that it's bombshell to the most of the other part of society is a concern to me. It shouldn't be a bombshell discovery. Okay? I mean, I'm not, as I said in the tweet, it's not an insult that I'm telling you this. We really need to move up fast. And this is for people everywhere. We don't want more of our people being choked out in a hospital because of some fraud that everyone got fear managed into. We know the abusers that guards are, but at any rate, moving on, I don't want to go there. Well, the guards, the government, essentially, you think you have the color of government to do things. Well, not only is there should be no revenge taken, no oppression allowed, but we see in the same news week that I'm now getting to, sentence of 11 years in prison against 35 female opinion activists in Saudi Arabia. Well, just a shocking disclosure here of how, I guess everyone has the right to their judiciaries, but again, the grave assault on their people, pulling 35 people, females, so-called female, they mentioned this importantly here, females together and convict them all at once and give them the same sentence. Middle East news, human rights sources revealed that one collective verdict was issued against 35 female opinion activists in Saudi Arabia to 11 years in prison without guaranteeing a minimum standards of justice. To me, there's no justice. We've pretended that the perception management that there is has been done fairly well against us. This kind of highlights something within the UN's own context. Remember, I want to bring this up too, this is the way they treat females back there. You remember the Iranian people where the one girl she got killed and the government said, oh, that was a pre-existing condition. Not much different than what they say for COVID. Oh, you died of a pre-existing condition or coincidence now. All right. Well, Saudi Arabia, part of the UN thing and all this injustice to people, this oppression, comes in the form of this statement where, if you remember, Saudi Arabia was appointed to the Human Rights Commission of the UN. And they have, I have a little article here which shows that they appointed within that commission Hala al-Tuwarijri as a new head of rights commission, a pretty face on this sort of oppression. And so we see the grave insult to people, underneath the color of authorities in places around the world that almost exalted, almost built up to in order to continue that and give license to these attacks to people. It's a theme that goes on throughout the world forever. There's nothing, in a way, I don't want to sound like I'm not paying attention to this or that it's not important. This has been known before. It's not important. What's important is that we stop it. We figure out ways to stop this everywhere we find it. Wherever we find oppression and criminality under color of authority, lawful authority, we have to move to stop it. And again, a crime that's not stopped and allowed to fester continues and gets worse. This is the whole one of the points about focusing. They did a really intelligent thing, going after terrorism and not really defining what it is, not knowing that when they define terrorism, that they, the ones that made the definition, were the terrorists. So we have a lot to work on. As there wasn't no pushback on the fact of the Saudi Arabia being put in the place of the Human Rights Commission of the UN. Anger after Saudi Arabia chosen to head a key human rights panel. And then we hear this year that they attack, I would think it's an attack, opinion, folks. Okay, well, it can have a force and effect. But to that type of justice is not justice. It's not really courts. And it's certainly not a freedom to speak. And I don't know about the gender. Why does it matter? I understand there's a distinction in, I assume it's a Muslim religion. I have heard we can call it Wahhabi, which is a extremist, I guess. But I'm not going to get into all that. Why don't people just have the ability to think and talk and express that? Why is there still this distinction of male-female in that way? And so my question, I just sit here wondering, in the world, what do we allow? We watch this stuff happening out there thinking it's not happening to us. And then we watch cancel culture come in and destroy the whole thing, make all that nonsense, absolutely nonsense anyway. You know, I sit here behind a woodshed looking at things, responses of people like that, and it seems that everyone misses a lot of the points, and they get us divided by it, and that shows me that there's an active program against the people there to cause dissension. And this is probably agreed to by part of the people, but the UN comes out and says, "Oh, no, stop the provocation and the violation to people," and yet they put Saudi Arabia on top of their Human Rights Commission. As part of this, I don't understand. Where did the world go? Here we are. But some of this stuff is killing us, and I've been trying to stay ahead of that for everyone best as I can on things that I don't see people doing that I think should be done. Not to dismiss anything that people find on their own, certainly, but I just don't see some of these things I offer that appear to cause neutrality, if nothing else. I get at least against each one of you that would do so, adopted and picked up and practiced a bit. That's a thing. But when you didn't do that as a people, and here we go to New Zealand, we see that there is a pressure that comes in when there's a pushback. And it's not like New Zealand or Australia or any of us has not pushed back. Certainly that court case in the beginning of the broadcast is certainly someone finally stepping up after 3 years, folks. It should have never happened in the beginning, but it took 3 years to get to the point where we're almost on it. We're almost to the point of saying, yeah, there was no authority in any of this. That those that pushed it were starting to watch as we can say they're rats leaving the ship, or they're feeling the pressure of the repercussions of the wrong idea. It'll be covered up. Most of it probably will go away and be covered up as legitimate. But this is also a tactic I want people in New Zealand to pay attention to, how New Zealand's post-COVID reality forced Jacinda Ardern to step down. This was a really big surprise, apparently, relative to New Zealand. Jacinda Ardern had the star appeal, a young progressive politician who promised big changes. Hope and change, folks. She is conditioned as a global leader, and the WEF and all that stuff. She went right down the party line, if you will. Predictably so, who promised big changes to some of the most entrenched social issues facing her country. The Labour leader had big ambitions to address the child poverty and help New Zealanders afford a home, but in the end, so much of her prime ministership was spent in leading her country through crisis. So we can buy into this narrative like an obituary that this woman was evil. I can't say anything more. She was just like all the rest of the leaders who did not identify the requirements to impose the police power that she wielded and find that she couldn't or didn't. And then she hurt people. She killed people. This is a surprise that she's going, but this is a woman that changed from somewhat of a carefree-looking spirit to something that evil has been attacking even. I mean, you can see it in her bearing. She says she has no more left in the tank. Maybe that's her political coffers to run for the office next time, which is coming up. But this is a surprise resignation of the Prime Minister of New Zealand as she just tearfully leaves the office. And let me offer, people think this is a shock resignation. That's because people are not paying attention. This seems to be, you move the agents in that make the changes you need, then you move them out. And you have to do it politically neutral so that you don't hurt yourself in the next election cycle. So this looks like a pretty good execution of something. And she came in to bring the changes. She can be, as an obituary, we look at the best side of her. But this woman did nothing to protect the people in New Zealand and should, by my sense, have no place to have a nice thing said about what she's done to the people in New Zealand. And this goes for every place, essentially. So I'm not just... And I'm dogging on her. Nobody identified the fraud. No, they perpetrated it. And we saw that the Comey swindle was the entry into being able to do the things and make the changes and cause the chaos that allowed other factors to enter in and start to turn your economies into just junk, but your lives into lesser, austere. They're getting their way, each one. But enough here. It is pretty shocking that she all of a sudden just popped up and said she's resigning. But it seems to me like it's part of a continuing plan, the deceit that you didn't know was there, that we're shocked because we didn't anticipate it. So, as I said, it's not Blockbuster that the military's involved with Covey swindle. You know I'm on record about it. Although you listen already know that. I mean, it's not even a question. So why is our society finding it sensational that our ignorance leads the news this week? And we don't say, wow, maybe I had it wrong. Maybe I needed to do more. In this case, I'm saying that because there was more we could do as people, particularly the United States of America. Again, that IHR 22005 international document that had the reservation to the state power should tell you how different and distinct the United States is in the world. Iran had one, but it was for a different principle, more like what Saudi Arabia does, but no, not going back there. So Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister, resigns before the end of her term. And in a way, I have to say good riddance. I don't know what you're going to do in New Zealand to bring back what you need, but you better now use this as an opportunity to decouple yourself from the global agenda that's going on and the harm that people are willing to put to you as they remove the public sphere and perception through to make people think certain things are going on that are not. Now moving over from New Zealand back up into Europe, Holland backs up Merkel revelation on Donbass speech. Deception, deception, deception. Utilizing the Minsk agreements meetings to cause delay, to cause NATO, the United States, to prepare Ukraine for the inevitable, and I say inevitable because they knew Russia's buttons would be pushed, and they did it on purpose to give Ukraine the time to fortify itself, to be allow the NATO to kill off more Ukrainian people. Ex-French minister leader agreed with former German counterpart's description of the real purpose behind the Minsk agreements, which was to delay to allow the United States and NATO fortify Ukraine. They have never had an intention to resolve this. And this is, again, the deception to assault you in the most horrendous ways under the color of doing good things. And I told you when Merkel came out to say that, Russia went to their battle stations. They have to. What can they trust now? And then to have this second witness pop up and say, yeah, we were deceiving Russia and the world. Remember, you got deceived too, whether you're paying attention or not. Remember, this war didn't just start in last February, which is the anniversary is coming. This war started in 2014. Okay, this has been going on for 9 years. And so the deception is now baked. It's into the public. You're looking at the world and understand no matter where you look, deception has been there. Jacinda Ardern is just watching. You watch her, just her whole spirit just got desiccated. You just watch it in her face. So her tank ran dry. Whether that's the political coffers tank, I don't know, but her tank ran dry. She's been used up. She's not going to get refueled. She sees the parting time, and so it's better to leave now and not get potentially and make it harder to get caught than to wait it out and maybe lose. Well, as we see the same thing happening maybe in the United States regarding Biden, me being thrown underneath or next to his vet, the yellow bus. Don't know, folks. That this is all deceptive. Holland comes in and second witness. Yeah, it was all just all this fancy thing going on in Minsk was a big show to get Russia to think we were doing something. But we were doing it to buy time to hurt more people. And Russia's, again, I don't know what more people can think about this. This is setting people to go to war. This has been a setup to go to war. It started in 2014. It's expanding. And I don't even know why I said it that way. This has been in war. This is just what you're watching, again, another deception in the show, the theater of the theatrics of Ukraine. When they went economic sanctions, that was economic war. You're really not supposed to do that in international law if you admire international law. They called about rules-based order, but that's not international law the West was imposing on Russia. Russia says that's nonsense. And we can't continue to allow you to come after us like this. We have to stop you at some point. And here we are. I told you, watch Russia on how they respond to defend themselves. Is the same thing you should have done local to you, right where you live, right in your own skin, in your own country, in your own laws, and say, no, you're not going to trespass me with no authority. Is that a rhyme? And here's how you have no authority. And it was five things. You didn't have to go very far. So same thing here. It's all reflective. This carnival mirror we look at relative to what people do when they have to defend themselves against deception. As we now see and we move into the proof, and I bring this up because this war is, I don't care if you characterize it by a proxy war or not, this has been planned to move into an escalated state. No different than the warp speed attack on you has moved into an escalated state as they continue to go, oh, Kraken now, folks, Kraken. They're not telling you that the flu does its variants every year, as I told you last week and have said before. Oh, they just put the Kraken out there now. You're going to fearmonger you. So that no one stops up and says, wait a minute, stop. We don't need to hear from you no more. Go away. At minimum, go away. Otherwise, we're going to have to arrest you. Our sheriffs have the right underneath the sovereign power of the state, exclusively reserved to the state in health matters, to go arrest you, bring you in, and charge you for bioterrorism. Because what you provided, as we now find in New York, if you didn't know before, if you didn't hear behind the woodshed, it does not prevent, it does not treat, it's arbitrary and capricious, and therefore it doesn't have its dual use protection exception under federal law for being a bioweapon. Just as I've been saying, when you extrapolate out what the court means. Bombshell admission, more bombshell, more sensationalizing general ignorance. Bombshell admission, Ukraine is carrying out NATO's mission against Russia. That was said, as said by the Ukraine minister. Now, I won't even go on. You can read the story here. I'm going to move because I got lots to hit. But Ukraine is a de facto NATO member, says from Kiev. The defense minister, Alexei Reznikov, is confident his country will receive Western heavy tanks and jets, and they are showing up. Again, de facto, not de jure. He makes a distinction here for those of you who never heard these terms. De facto, in the United States, de facto conditions is what shocked me initially as we went through, and I started to look at things differently. Something that exists without any due process of law that we understand or legislative enactments and all that is something that exists outside of normal parameters. It's called the fact of its existence, de facto. It has an authority, and you actually can't oust it in some part. Once an official gets in office, this is what a quo warranto does, a de facto officer, not a de jure, one by law, is sits in an office and makes decisions. Those decisions can become law, like they did happen in Obama's case. I'm not going to get into that other issue about his identity and all. I'm talking about there was things he did without authority that were de facto. The fact of the existence is de facto. That it comes by law is de jure, law of the people, typically. So he's saying the fact of this condition is telling you, giving you notice, we are a NATO member. Now, Russia is the whole purpose NATO is, Russia is there is because they were trying to keep that from happening. And at the same time now we hear, and the guy that I forgot all about that still exists relative to the JFK condition and his just systemic metastasization in the system, and the guy I was waiting for here last couple weeks ago for a comment from him and the new revelations that this was bringing out, Kissinger comes back again now and changes his position on Ukraine, saying the concept of Ukraine's neutrality is no longer meaningful given the circumstances, Henry Kissinger told the World Economic Forum in Davos on Tuesday. He endorsed Kiev's eventual membership in the U.S.-led military bloc, but continued to insist on dialogue with Russia, a stance that earned him a spot on the notorious Ukrainian kill list. This is interesting gamemanship going on, but ultimately, Kissinger's a U.S. war hawk, and a dialogue with Russia is the very thing Russia's been waiting for. And dialogue won't fix their problem, and Russia already knows that. And so you're watching Russia start to spin up their military defenses. Again, I'm not here to validate either side. I'm saying we're looking like we're going to war. It looks like it's been planned to go to an escalated war. You can call it World War III if you want. You can do whatever. You can call it proxy. People are going to die. More people are going to die. And I don't know where this thing ends. And I'm really wondering if Russia is really the only cool head here to make the decisions, as China becomes the cool head in the world for their reflection. All we have in the United States is a debt going to no good that they need to spin out of control so that we can get some so-called influx of manufacturing going. That's what those are about. So that's what's driving us. It's not driving truth and peace on earth and all that. Nothing like that. No, it's what the money men want in the world. Kissinger now comes out and changes his position. There's no longer a meaningful reason given the circumstance. He doesn't define that circumstance. It's a self-inflicted wound on the West side. So this fossil continues to have influence at 99 years old, who was around during Kennedy's time, and maybe why some of those documents aren't being put out. Now we see who the players of today, causing grave insult to everyone in the world, are still alive, still acting, still causing influence in the world, still running the same agenda. As we see more NATO, de facto NATO, in Ukraine. We're not talking about member of the EU either. This is totally different. This is all just military. As NATO somehow gets its ability to spread beyond its original purpose for some reason, even threatening Taiwan now in China. I didn't do that report, but it's there to do all these things to talk about. Three NATO AWACS surveillance jets arrive in Bucharest from Germany, defense minister says. The NATO AWACS surveillance jets have arrived in Bucharest from Germany to reinforce the alliance's eastern flank and monitor military activity on its borders, Romanian defense minister Angel Tilvar said on Tuesday. Again, you can read the story. They're bringing in some super sophisticated stuff. The AWACS go in, and to my mind, yes, they look at stuff on the ground, but this is to be integrated with an air force. And so we're watching, just watch how they position all this stuff under the color that they're doing an eastern flank, which the word flank means it's a threat to an aggressor. So it's already been predetermined that Russia was going to be an aggressor. How long have we been hearing that? A report, and here again, NATO de facto, what's going on? Watch what they do. What have I been saying about the Libra Code? This is all about that too. You know them when you see them. You know them by their deeds. You don't listen to their words. Private U.S. firm feeding illegal spy tech to British intelligence to target Russian troops. De facto, folks. They're using NATO members in order to pull this off, and private American spy firms using illegal technology to track over a billion people across the globe and using British intelligence cut out extensively linked to NATO's proxy war against Russia in Ukraine to funnel the data to Ukraine military. New documents show from, I'll give them credit, Gray Zone. They seem to come up with some pretty interesting stuff generally, though I don't cover all this stuff in too deep. I want you just to know, okay, this has a reciprocation effect. It may not look like it's happening and people in Ukraine are dying, but this is all being done on a global stage for global reasons, and monetary or financial reasons are the reason. And that reflects back to you. And if you haven't sensed that the dozen eggs for going on to 12 and 15 bucks a dozen isn't a clue, I don't know what more to say, actually. But this is portends just exactly what they said. You know them when you see them. Stop listening to their words. You couldn't trust them in Minsk now. They now admit to that. It was a setup to continue to go after Russia, keep poking the bear. And de facto is we're looking at the war. The fact of it is the war. Libra Code, international law, remember. Libra Code is international law, 1914. UN again. This is all being purviewed by the nations all together in the world. No one says much. But this is all right there on a country that really wasn't set up as a sovereignty, that was NATO promised not to encroach one more inch on its eastern flank. Remember all that? That was the truth. But then they lied, right? They said they gave the deception. They said, oh, we wouldn't go forward because that would have been the truth underneath the agreement. But they're not people of their word. And you should be very concerned, no matter where you are in the world, about this kind of thing. But the U.S. quietly shipping arms from Israel to Ukraine. As interestingly now, China tells Israel, don't be provocative to Palestine. That same voice can come out about this. And this is stoking concerns among officials in Israel that refuse to send weapons to Kiev. But see who Papa, Uncle Sam is, having a weapons store in Israel. just not a little country looking for a place to live. It's a military base. The U.S. military is supplying Ukraine with hundreds of thousands of artillery rounds pulled from stockpiles based in Israel, according to the New York Times. The Pentagon is reportedly scrambling to find munitions as Ukrainian forces continue to exhaust their arsenal. It's amazing what they're sending over, what wars do, the expenditures, the costs. But they're now pulling from Israel, a de facto NATO member, right? I mean, just look around. This is, and when you look at where they're positioned geopolitically, you realize, and geophysically, you realize what Russia is concerned about. And again, I can't, somebody's self-defense is not for me to decide either, as U.S. quietly shifts their arms from Israel. Israel's a target now for international concern for Russia, as they've been, Israel's been trying to soft pedal their position. Also, don't forget, they're also a nuclear power as well. If Israel has ammunition there stockpiled to this number, you know they have nuclear weapons, even if they weren't Israel. So this is becoming it is a concern, it has been. But now the United States is acting out. You know them by their deeds. They're pulling ammunition to stockpile more, to go after this thing they agreed not to ever do. Putin almost saying almost entirety of NATO's military potential being actively used against Russia. That's a pretty big awareness from a Russian leader to say, we see that, and you're pulling, even from Israel now, you're pulling to move this thing forward. And it's NATO that's doing it. Again, don't think that NATO doesn't mean the United States. The United States is one of the partners. It's the most controlling partner. NATO is an extension of the United States. So when the United States acts in sanctions, economic sanctions, it's an economic war that they wage to start with, supposedly to soften up the target, supposedly. Russian officials and some Western media pundits have characterized the conflict as Ukraine as a proxy war between the West and Russia. The U.S. and its allies have poured tens of billions of dollars worth of military aid into Ukraine, trained tens of thousands of troops, and provided Kyiv with intelligence and strategic level planning. The military potential of almost all NATO countries is being actively used against Russia, and Moscow must improve its knowledge and understanding of the Western bloc's weapons systems, experience, and tactics to improve the fighting potential of the Russian military, President Vladimir Putin said. There's no way that they can back down from the impression that they're getting from NATO in its deeds, de facto. There's no de jure decision in any of this. All of that went down by the wayside a long time ago, as now Russia is not going to sit around on a threat that may not happen. No, they can't. Nobody can take the self-defense position to give up your arms, can you? Anybody about a Second Amendment right understands that. Look at Australia. They give up your arms, look what happens to you as a nation. No, this is going the natural course. Kremlin now responds enlargement of Russian army to 1.5 million caused by West's actions. In a way, Russia is a captive of this action. There's not really a way for them to avoid it. Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu has held a meeting with senior leadership of the Russian armed forces concerning the implementation of Vladimir Putin's decision to increase the military size 1.5 million. I'm not going to read any more. Understand you're watching cause and effect, and you're watching the imposition of NATO, not just this guess. Oh, it's Ukraine. No, there is no democracy in Ukraine. It's never been a sovereignty. It wasn't supposed to move an inch. The line sitting to the west should not have moved an inch to the east, and it's now the whole country. Russia has to respond. NATO's not backing off. In fact, they're doubling down. They're doing more and more. I don't have the report here, but the United States is now accepting Ukrainian soldiers to be trained in the United States to go back over to fight, to become fodder. And the reports I'm getting are they are fodder. Russia made some mistakes going in and this and that. That's old history now. In fact, I also understand the General Armageddon has actually been pulled back, possibly because of his Kherson decision, which I thought was tactically proper because of the exposure. But he's been removed. They're not facing General Armageddon anymore. They're facing someone else who's even more high up in more managing this condition. because it's escalating. They can't have a General Armageddon who targets, let's say, an area like he did in Syria, just a small place, against a different type of target, an enemy, than the NATO threat and the United States behind it. And so we're watching Russia turn it up. What can they do about understanding more than just understanding the other side's armament? First nuclear-propelled torpedoes for Russia mega submarine are ready. The Poseidon weapons are among the latest addition to the country's nuclear deterrence. Russia has no choice but to start making sure, and this didn't happen yesterday, they've been planning this plan likely since 2010 or 2011, when 2014 happened. They saw this coming. They've been making these submarines. Now, most people in the United States who know the military of the United States would laugh. Like, what's four submarines going to do against the dozens and dozens the United States has? But remember, it doesn't take a lot to take out centers with nuclear weapons. And these are now nuclear torpedoes. They likely can run for years and years and years and years without ever, they're autonomous. So Russia's not just looking at the West's capability. They're making their own new capability with our latest understanding of what technology does, what drones have done to this. This is not necessarily a drone more than the capacity of the autonomous behavior once it's delivered from these monstrous submarines. Russia is gearing up, and it's gearing up for just the people of the world in a bad way. Not bad. For Russia, it's maybe its last answer. It doesn't have to beat the United States. It just has to show that the United States can be hurt bad, more like the porcupine. Porcupines still die, but the people who attack them may not survive so well themselves. And they're under a diminished capacity and then made subject to the rest of the predation if they are attacked. And so understand the Russian mentality here. As I've been saying, watch Russia, what they start to do. Is going to be something telling us about the future when they're up against a bunch. My sense is they're up against a bunch of psychopaths. People like Kissinger have been around too long, way too long, being influential, who spin on a dime whenever it behooves them, and also will deceive you as they shake your hand and smile. And I've seen that smile a lot of times since I've become more aware. This is in the last probably 20 so years. I've seen that smile a lot. That's all I need to see, actually. And I go into a different mode of operation. And Russia's doing so, too. First nuclear-propelled weapon, torpedoes. Nuclear-propelled torpedoes. These things are not small, either. You read about them. They have a decent capacity to go in and do certain damages in certain places. In the water, they have a different advantage, actually, with it being in the water relative to the types of material they can throw up. Yeah, regurgitate onto a population. And so, Russia's not going to wait around, and they're building some very formidable equipment to do what they can to defend themselves. And we got now a ground war. You don't just do this on nuclear weapons. You don't do this with drones. You have to have your ground infantry in order to defend yourself or to attack anything. So this is why they're doing this by a military. Putin's responding to a military response in earnest. As we now hear Putin going to nukes, four submarines to be coming online here soon. They each have 6 to 8 of these torpedoes that are nuclear powered, can go for a long time without any more attendants powered. And they likely go very quickly, if I understand the new technology now. A nuclear powered torpedo can move pretty quickly through the water, and it's very hard to detect them. They're not messing around. Scientists, so then we get the news about this. Scientists, after that discussion, scientists say they've found the best hiding place from a nuclear blast. Maybe you want to read this, just in case. Kind of like the New York notice to y'all, put your head between your legs and kiss your bottom end goodbye. Quickly, New York nuclear bombs have developed a reputation of absolute bringers of destruction, but while they can indeed devastate a large area and kill with a variety of methods, it's also totally possible to survive a nuclear blast. Provided they're far enough away from the initial fireball. So this is, we've talked about these things. I found it interesting that they're promoting this. The science so-called comes out right when Putin says that. And again, this is the perception management, the discursive capital that makes Putin look bad and then the United States, the West look good, if you will. But read this story. Maybe it'll be interesting. Maybe if this thing goes there, you may need this information one day. Essentially, and I'm not going to limit the discussion, read it yourself, you're not unsafe to sit in the corners of a building facing the explosion outside the fireball area so that the way the wind that gets blown in, you're protected even from that in the corners of your building, even facing a blast. And if you look at the old videos, you see some of that. The buildings sway. They don't get blown out completely. They sway, and parts of them are still okay. And I think that's the analysis they did. But here we have a notice to us on how to survive a nuclear blast, right in time to seeing also the perception management news of the reality that Russia says, we're not going to sit here flat-footed without our own protection. And you guys are nuclear to 5,500 instruments in the United States NATO. We're going to have a little bit better deterrent system to be the porcupine at this point, because certainly our little four submarines is not going to actually be competitive with the United States at all. But we can hurt you. We can hurt you, and you know it. And then we're going to bring our technology even more sophisticated so it hurts you worse. As we see, then, the drumbeats of this war, and I say it's already ongoing, but there's, again, the carpet bombing hasn't started. Leaving Russia costs Western IT firms billions, says their Russian ministry. A number of tech majors have halted operations in the country due to sanctions. They call it sanctions. I just wanted to point this out. Russia's doing fine. They're going to survive this, apparently. They feel they can. What this shows is the Western ITs, this is not the corporations like in Germany and Nazis that had influence with the government. These companies have no influence. They're getting out. This is one of the things that starts to happen to telegraph the war, the physical attack. And understand that Russia's paying attention to this. I keep saying that because if Russia's paying attention to it and upgrading what it's doing to defend itself, however it's going to do so, and you have a bunch of psychopaths that don't know a limit on the West, this is coming to that. Let's not be shocked if that starts to happen. I say if. I hope it's not a win. And we see the constraint upon this issue where the European Union, not NATO now, but the European Union gets involved, notwithstanding all the rules to stop the press and the communication and interfere with the dialogue Russia says that they want, that Kissinger says needs to be maintained. The European Union steps up to state a country in the European Union wants to mentally quarantine people on Russian culture. So now the civil society is involved. One country suggests, plants the seed, Lithuanians should not enjoy Russian culture as long as the conflict is raging in Ukraine. Its culture minister Simonas Karis told a national broadcaster LRT this week. The minister was echoing the ideas of his Ukrainian counterpart, Alexander Tachenko, who earlier called the West to boycott the Russian culture. So this is cancel culture. It's in the EU. It's no different than we experience in the United States if you think it's different. It's not. They're getting rid of your history. When you get rid of those statutes, how are you going to go back to recognize that? Because he's talking about for now, or she is. Well, you don't. And this is the telegraphing the mental perception of the people, getting the people ready as a division, that there's no dialogue possible. They're not worthy. And you're not, I said this before, I guess I keep repeating this, you all know this, but Russia's nobody that doesn't have a culture. They're not going to give that up. You don't defeat Russia. I don't know if anybody's defeated the people of Russia. When they're defeated, they come back and defeat you. Right, so they aren't defeated. They come back, and they will defend themselves. And they're sitting in your kitchen when you thought you killed them, and they're saying, where do you think the authority is now? Look at history, what happens to people that try to attack Russia. 1.5 million now, strong in their forces, and they got their people behind it. So perception management, let's desensitize our people, because we're setting up for an attack. Let's get rid of their culture. Any evidence of their good. And part of me, again, international law says you don't attack culture. You don't attack museums. You don't, even though you saw that happened in Iraq, we pillaged the whole place, but then slowly had to get some of that back. Lost a lot of it. You're not supposed to do all that because we're not supposed to, as a mankind, we're not supposed to lose who we have been. But that sends quite a bit of, there's a lot of lessons in all that, good and bad. But no, this is cancel culture set up. This is also to desensitize people relative to a coming war, where you'd want people to think the other side's animals and not worthy. And some of you might think Russia's not worthy. I don't know, but I'm just suggesting maybe that's not the right tack to take when the one you say is not worthy has the capacity to light up your life. Have you thought about that in your reliance of moving away too? Then we see this thing. It's on this ongoing path that I don't know if we escape from quite yet. At least they're going to bring it to the brink. As I talked to you last week, when you see South Africa exalted to the running BRICS over all that association that's pulling together the financial bipolar mental condition in the world now of finances, I told you that they said the first outbreak for Kraken happened. Well, the report I didn't get to was they also identified Russia, the first of a case of Kraken COVID variant detected in Russia. Again, why those two places when they came to prominence in the news relative to the adversary, if you will, the bipolarness of the times, shows you, again, this is just a military psyop. The Kraken could have been named the Hydra, but it wouldn't have had the same effect. It's not a variant unknown to seasonal flu. They just give an identity and a name. They don't have, you know, there's lots of variants to the seasonal flu. They only have supposed vaccines for two, A and B. There's others they can't do anything about. That's what you're dealing with. But no, in this time, you focus that Russia becomes the origin, one of the originators. Just so happens to be consistent with the financial destruction of the world and the reorganization of it and the reconstituting of it into a more controlled sphere, which in part Russia's going to be a part of. Just the good cop, bad cop side. And depend on your perception management, that discursive capital that China has told us now, they're actually moving on. Everybody's going to move their elbows in a certain way to try and see if they can gain the perception management, notwithstanding the facts and truth. So de facto, I'm telling you, the post-truth era de facto has no points. And I'm telling you today, the fact that NATO's doing these things irrespective of Ukraine and Russia's responding is the fact of a reality that we better pay attention in this post-truth era. Yes, truth and facts are going to be important. The point will be, what is the truth and the fact to you that's true and factual, relevant, material, and pertinent, as they would say in legal terms, for admissible evidence and something that you would make a decision on? So Kraken now is found out to be in Russia. Nonsense. It's everywhere. I mean, it'll be whatever they want it. And then we don't know, you know, the test is not even the proper test anyway, but that's how you can show the perception management. Russia, bad. Period. Don't worry about the fact that we're throwing a bunch of stuff at it, threatening it all the time. And what is that line? What is this thing that's going on? As Russia sees it, Russia's outlines its endgame for the Ukraine conflict. It's pretty simple. It's what they stated in the front. But you see that no one's paying attention in the West. So keep a key on this. As soon as this condition happens, Russia will stop. Until it happens, they can't. Hostilities can only cease when Kiev stops posing a threat to Moscow, the nation's UN envoy has said. The Ukraine conflict may be concluded either through diplomatic or military means, but only after Moscow has achieved its goals, Russia's permanent representation to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia, has said on Friday. So, they have said this in the beginning, we can't have Ukraine be a non-neutral place, and until it is, we have to defend ourselves. That's the line. They say diplomacy. You just heard in the prior articles, they don't want, the West doesn't want to dialogue. They'll talk about it, like Minsk, they'll talk about peace. They don't intend it. So the demons here, it seemed to me, are the West. Not giving any possible license to whatever government Russia is. It's still a darn government. It's still doing the globalism. Even if it understands that globalization has been trashed in favor of this new world order that we keep euphemizing. but it's working in real. It's actually working. The future is this war condition that goes forward as well. Russia outlines its end games. Read it. Say what Russia, they're not telling you, they're not lying to you. I don't believe, I've not seen them lie on this issue at all. Put in the more proper perspective. This is pretty much straight up on Russia's side. That's one thing I think I can trust in Russia. They're pretty straight up about what they have done. Yeah, they'll do deceptive things, but on these matters where they are talking nuclear, they're not messing around on where the line is going to be. And they'll leave everyone out and say, they don't care about public perception. They don't care about discursive capital at that point, because that means their life, their national life, their existence. And Russia's pushing it. Russia has, United States is pushing it. They call it NATO. United States is pushing it. United States has no respect for people. And I have to say that being kind of helpless within a prisoner of that jurisdiction with all the freedoms that we have. The people are going to have to make their voice known a lot better than just a voice as well. Where that goes, I don't know. But the United States has no respect for people. And we see that in how the police actions go on in the United States. We see that it's a police action over there in Ukraine, however you want to call it, proxy, whatever. You see that they kill people. They don't care about killing people. Cause them to be fodder underneath this democracy banner. And there's none to be found. Threatening for people, their so-called neighbors, threatening other people. Can't afford to make a mistake and misinterpret your de facto actions. Back to the United States. What does the United States care? Does its police action forces care? United States police killings reached a record high in 2022. Law enforcement officers killed on an average 3 people per day, but faced more violence in the line of duty. You think, folks? No. See, the United States is set up as a prison, and it's given to its wardens, the police, this capacity to kill people without accountability. The people should not have been happy, okay with that. No different than we're watching, the accountability will be slipping from the mass, horrendous, grave assault upon people, killing them underneath the color of a foreign, determined pandemic that doesn't exist in the United States in the local jurisdiction. There is no such thing in the local jurisdiction. But you're going to watch, and I think I've seen enactments, legislation allowing that to exist. But U.S. police killings, the United States kills people. There's no presumption here. You put yourselves in your soldiers are put in the line of duty, and then you wonder why they're not liked, and more violence happens. This has been escalating. This is not even a new story. I've talked about this from year to year, but it hits the news again. Top first of the year as we come into the so-called new year, it's the same old story. And we exalt the police force, which is a police action force. Again, you know them by what they do. And they operate on military. They operate to accept military weapons, military time, military hierarchy, military rules. However, you look under international law, they comply with even that. That's the other thing. But these people are not to be exalted. These people cannot be trusted. They move themselves into a place of distrust, notwithstanding the government officials that would agree with them, because they're all the same occupier, essentially. And there's a few that don't, but some, that's not very many at this point. We cannot trust these folks. And the system will say, but it's just a small percentage of the total base of what's going on. This is, I don't care, it's unacceptable. You don't just kill people under a presumption of innocence. I even was concerned about someone who had multiple felonies. I didn't have this report, but he was let out for a buck because the judge, maybe a good guy, said the new legislature who pulled back who removed the ability to own recognizance, the judge did not like that, and so out of protest, the judge offered a $1 bail to a felon, multiple felons, proven multiple times. And I got to thinking about that. It was, they're letting loose a criminal. Well, it was a past criminal. He'd paid his time. And the new charges, he was presumed innocent, wasn't he? And so, as long as, and people don't understand this stuff, but the bail is only to ensure your appearance for trial. If he never had a question in his record that he always, all those prosecutions for all the felonies, and he's a felon, but for the charge that he was facing currently, if he's never had a record that he never showed up to the trial, there's actually no reason to charge a bail, is the point missed by most people when they assert, oh, the felon's getting let loose. Yes, there's a reality behind letting a felon, we know someone who's going to commit harm to the people that are that they've harmed, may go back and harm. That's a different problem. The point of due process of law, if he's returned and the only reason for bail is to show that you're going to prove to show up to court, OR was fine enough for a long time. And so we have to be careful on where we go, who we give credit to and who we don't, just because the government gets involved and they point their finger at someone and says, oh, we condemn them. Because these people that are the officials aren't so rosy, white hat and rosy-cheeked and pristine. No official in the United States should prove that, ever, about the COVID swindle. So back to the cops killing people. Well, they also have lots of other problems. After arrest of 7 cops, LAPD reminds its own officers not to drink and drive. And they'll go through and say, oh, it's only 7 officers. Oh, and they're going to go through civil and criminal, this and that and the other. These are people that have trouble. And they're supposedly enforcing law. Forcing law is what they're doing. And so we put our trust in these people. And then we expect these kinds of people that have this baggage to go anywhere in the world and do justice. I don't even know what more to say about that. That we also see it's not confined to the United States. Hundreds of British police officers suspected of sex offenses. Suspected, okay, presumption of innocence understood. But when you read the story, it's not such a suspect at all. This is domestic violence. This is characteristic of abused people that are abusing others in the position of police. Policing, supposedly. So, I'm going through the story or not. I just said the title. That was enough. Suspected of sex offenses. There's been people that have been convicted over and over of the problem, and they're still being peace. They're securing the peace and security of the people. I think it's time to start shifting to the standard of the appearance of impropriety. If the appearance is of the appearance of impropriety is broached or breached, then they lose. Period. Done. And in particular where the judiciary is, particular where the attorneys are. Hundreds of British police officers suspected of sexual offenses. What are they walking around doing in the world trying to secure peace and safety to people? But that, in a way, that's a little bit of a sensational thing, but that seems to, sex seems to run the world a bit. As we saw, we're now seeing it expanding, and there's no age that's not part of the problem. It hasn't been. I've told you about my experience, but outing what we hear is the child trafficking situation in the state itself, in the systemic problem, the systemic condition, why I think it continues. But sex sells, and so we see that may be what's going on as we move. British officers may be suspected of sex offenses, but it's not an offense if you go to Davos. The escort agencies booked solid for Davos Forum. Sexual harassment by wealthy men at WEF is so common that female guests are advised not to attend events alone, an Austrian outlet has reported. Very interesting story. Apparently, they will screw you in the world, and they go there for themselves, for their own pleasure, and I don't know why they should be allowed to have any pleasure where they're actually violating everybody else's rights. This is a systemic problem. People that believe they have power allow themselves licenses that should not be. And this goes through back to the broadcast. Israel, the Zionists, those that would impose COVID, those that did, these need to stop in the world. It's going to take people everywhere, locally, to them, to stop this and stop allowing it. This mentality, psychopathy, this license they give themselves to screw the world, has got to be arrested. And while that became top news, global political elites skipped Davos. They call the political elite the nations, actually, when you read this. U.S., Chinese, and Russian leaders will not attend this year's World Economic Forum in the Swiss Alps. Maybe they're getting a word, but maybe those escort agencies were going to be promoting themselves, too. And that's what we're here for, I suppose, in Davos. But Davos is on, but none of the big countries seem to be showing up. French Minister Emmanuel Macron and British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is not going to show up. Putin's not showing up. Chinese aren't showing up. So something's changing. And this is what I want to try to shift a little bit. There is a voice going out by the people. They are paying attention. But they did still have the meeting. In pictures I see that the attendance is not so good. So we're having a force and effect. But it needs to be even more, I think, confined to very particular attacks to show that we are not, as a people anywhere, are not tolerating any of this anymore. Because it's bringing us to no good. It's allowing to those that think they're in power or have organized themselves in such a way to be able to have a power and plausibly look like they're lawfully doing things to come and destroy us. These people are nobody, actually. And yet somehow they've organized themselves, they've infiltrated our nations, they've infiltrated our people, they've infiltrated the minds of the people, and it's only a very small amount of people responding that are actually starting to get the pushback that I wonder is not sending, notwithstanding all the turmoil in the world, and again, a barrel of turmoil must be just a great amount of money value, but at any rate, the turmoil in the world keeps the separation, but I think there's something else driving this. And being interactive in the world with the social media such that it is and such that the censorship is, has, I think, helped drive it, that we don't get the type of mutual cooperation between each other is kind of interesting to me anyway. Most people want to stand on the bandwagon of the bombshell and say, look at what I found, even though I'm 3 years late and it was known by some other people and we should have been acting, it doesn't matter, look what I found. And that seems to be all that people want to do. Look at what I found. Okay, but the one who laid that mine down there for you to find it is now down the path laying some others, and maybe worse, a mine you may step on and it won't matter, or you become more identified as a collaborator in your ignorance as you move along, and they get out you too. You become irrelevant. Moving into these people that cause the narratives, they allow others to profit from them. We're back to how the globe is triggered by certain powerful organizations and really typically tied to investments, and that people are driven by their greed or their base nature, like Davos, and why the escort agencies are all like profiting now. None of you do, but they do. How BlackRock Investment Fund triggered the global energy crisis. And so I just want to point out this. There's an explanation behind how the world global energy got affected. And it was one of these big, giant, multi-trillion dollar investment brokers, which people feed into that continue this. And we explained again this ESG, this environmental, social, and governance principle, was what they enticed people in, supposedly, I guess, for the greed of people to get more money. Then they utilized this narrative in order to gain favor and gain investment leverage in order to cause the shift in the energy markets, driven by speculation anyway. All on a fraud. Again, we're back. This is Davos thing. All this is the Covey swindle was another tool. The climate change, global warming is another tool of usurpation. And we see the money is ending that. As we see what BlackRock started and what they pulled out of their zero, net zero, as I told you here a couple weeks ago and then last week. Also, the money people are following suit. As the window starts to shut on the inducement to start showing you it was essentially just a setup. But it got lots of people involved, and now they're captured. Goldman Sachs says goodbye to Greenium, greenium, like greenium as ESG, now priced like all debt. Part of how this ESG got promoted was to get people to buy into programs, investments that were claiming to be environmentally, socially, and governance relevant and considerate. But that was just a scam. That was just a setup to induce it. And because they set them up that way, they give additional money incentive. Well, that greenium, they called it, thrill, is gone, they're saying now. These companies and money, now they've captured everybody, like in this case, Goldman Sachs, they've pulled back, not much different than the net zero pullback that the BlackRock did and Vanguard did before, and not tied to any investment thing, which is interesting how Vanguard did that. This moves into the other money, so-called moneyed people, the investment brokers having leverage against their investors, that the inducements and enticements are being removed now. You know, those investments are not going to be having any advantage. Right? So this was all, again, it's the sleight of hand. It shows you how they get your greed in. You think you're investing in something, you don't pay attention, or you think you are paying attention, you don't realize what it's about. But we're just no different than how BlackRock interfered with the energy sector. This is now a financial sector condition across the whole of the economies of industry. Their investments are now being smashed together like they're no different than any others, which they never were different. People just perceive them to be different. They were given an incentive to be able to agree and consent to that. And this is the thing about being scammed into things like we see the digital world. You want to have the next app. You want to have the next newest and greatest phone device or the next connection, the speedier it is. And along the way, they start to increment the things you get for free, now become not so free, and then they actually start to cost you. And then you find out you're captured by it, and there's really not much of an escape. As we see Goldman Sachs doing that, turning it down, turning down the incentives, the economies have to cool. We have to contract lots of things, put people into a state of confusion. As we see the World Bank now slashing global growth forecast, the deception that there would be any growth at all when they triggered this COVID swindle, knowing that it was going to allow them to interfere with the globalism, which kept things moving relatively smoothly, but can't without the chains, the supply chains, singular supply chains that they set up, and then knowing they were going to come in and make a schism in the world relative to Russia and Eurasia, actually. So World Bank slashes global growth. But interestingly, they say that the United States is going to be one of the ones that's going to supply it. And yet when you look at the numbers, it won't. So the deception of this article, not in the writer, they're explaining, if you read, what the World Bank slashes the growth, but World Bank attributes some salvation to the United States economy. But look at it. It isn't. It isn't better than other nations. It's just the promotion to get past the American psyche that they're doing okay, and you're not, and you're not going to. And I don't know when this rooster comes home to perch at home, but again, this de-dollarization thing going on is a serious consequence, and again, partly, possibly, it looks like it's driving this thing in Ukraine to create strife, which creates economy because it creates munitions manufacturing, and people have jobs again, and that's all they care. Once their house gets bombed, they really don't care, it seems. And with all the sanctions and all the stuff that the economic war is supposed to go against Russia, we see the boomerang effect, they get blowback, spit into the wind effect. Russia's coming right out with all this forecasting about the World Bank. See, there's an intangible connection backwards to the bank through BRICS, but their economy and their national countryside structure, they're not feeling the effects. And Putin beats West's economic blitzkrieg, Russia doing better than expected. So better than the World Bank is promoting about the U.S., Russia is coming out. And I can't help but say these folks are the pragmatic people that figured this out. And we could see the signs on the wall about it all if we had been paying attention. And they decided at some point they had to, enough was enough. There was that red line that was crossed. They couldn't let the West do more. You couldn't listen to them. We did it, miss. Shame on us, but now you're not going to do anything more with Russia. Kissinger may say there's dialogue that needs to happen, but Kissinger has allowed them to foreclose the ability for dialogue. The EU shuts down all the dialogue centers of the press and stops interaction. Kills culture. The writing on the wall, this wall is not a painting, the drawings on this are not painting a pretty picture. But Russia, Putin, and this could be so much propaganda, but I don't think so. Looking around, it seems like they're doing quite fine. All their oil's going up. There's Greece, NATO partners, actually using more product now from Russia than they were before the sanctions. And so Putin is saying, no, our economy's in better shape than we actually expected. Even though they're ramping up for war, too. And they're not doing it with international monetary funds because all that's been locked out. So watch how Russia's doing this. You're going to, I don't know how we do this as a people, each one of us. But we're going to have to kind of mimic what a sovereign does to protect ourselves from our own government that denies it's doing anything. But the United States is willing to do something to harm itself and harm you and ignore that it's really not doing the harm it claims. It's another deceptive tool, perception management. They can get you to believe that Russia's doing bad. The West wins. The United States wins. The IMF wins. The World Bank wins. The BIS wins because they're moving that football down the field if they haven't already scored a couple of goals with us. As we see that very fact, Putin saying, no, we're doing better than what we expected ourselves. Independent investigation says the same thing, while U.S. is warned of default. Now, this is a bit of another narrative going on that will likely be all solved. And I will say, let me say this before I forget it. If there's a political distinction in the government and the Republicans are anything, they will not allow the debt ceiling to be raised. They will actually collapse the function of government. They have the opportunity to do that here, not as a political football, but a real thing. We will go into some hurt, but it'll be one of those things you need to happen. We need to constrain the government and expenditures. This is not going to happen. However, the narrative, the theater going on now is U.S. is warned of default. The Treasury Secretary says the debt limit hike is badly needed. The U.S. is expected to reach a statutory debt ceiling next week, which could see the country defaulting on its obligations unless preventative steps are taken. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen from the windows but warned on Friday in a letter to the House Speaker McCarthy, which is a duty she has underneath the law. Once the limit is reached, Treasury will need to start taking certain extraordinary measures to prevent the United States from defaulting on its obligations. And I'll stop here. You need to read this to see how this works. I don't really know all of it here, but there were some things I hadn't understood that I see now. And essentially, it is a contraction of the government. They start going after employees. They go after your employees first, if you thought you had value. They take away your benefits and all this and that. There's a cartoon about that as well. This thing doesn't get resolved. Yellen's steps are marked. They can do things. She can do some things. And what it is to stop reinvesting in the benefits of stuff for the employees or the employees' positions and then actually pull from agencies that might have more money than they have, that haven't spent the money that they were allocated. But there's an automatic triggering thing that's built in that they stop that, that causes that to be a question. The point is, there's an interesting dynamic of what this Treasury Secretary can do in the corporation of the United States relative to its money handling or its funding handling. And so we have a default of the inability to raise the limit. Why? They don't explain why we must raise the limit. They don't explain that it may ultimately be good. They just said that it needs to. Well, she's a banker. She's a world banker. They want that to go up, more servitude. As just on that word that there was supposedly just the question that the United States might default, which is another game, another theater. You'll hear, what's the limit of the good faith and credit of the United States? They bring it up, but what's the actual limit? Is your representatives saying, no, that's the limit. Otherwise, it goes on your back, or it goes on the world stage, until the world stage says no, and we may be at that precipice here, but on the word of this potential of a default that can go up until July, actually, I think, Wall Street crashes on recession fears. Well, I looked at this, and Wall Street crashed by the S&P index was down 1%. Doesn't sound like much of a crash to me. So, perception management going on here. This thing can crash. I would like to see it crash, but it's not going to do it that way. But this is all in speculation. It's the stock market sell-off has continued amid signs of U.S. economy is slowing, not because of this problem with the deficit. Isn't that interesting? So all this mishmash of stuff of the political theater, the financial and fiscal theater, again, I want to be on record at this point with the knowledge I have. I want to see if they mean anything, that the Republicans who are in charge of Congress and the purse, they allow a contraction of the government, federal government itself. Just stop funding it. I mean, what I find interesting is they'll fund all the nonsense, but they won't fund one particular thing, as I've talked about before, miners being able to get a patent underneath the grant Congress issued to them to go get the patent and get minerals, value, gold, out of the ground to be able to do the work that the government needs. They've interfered with that private property disposal by taking away, they won't allow the funds to be spent. We can tell they now can order the funds not to be spent. They won't allow funds to be spent for the taking of an application to for a mineral state grantee to acquire a piece of mineral property on public domain. Why? Well, because the people that start doing that not only have property, but they also get value out of the ground, real value out of the ground. They produce something of value, tangible. And Congress is against that. So, Rush, if the Republicans are going to do something, we know they can contract by not allocating and appropriating. But I also know there's a couple things in the law that they have stopped allocating, appropriating money for. They ought to have, and it's a trust breach to not do so. So we got something going on with the Republicans that they can actually show that they are valuable to the people and do represent them. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying that we as people have quite a few things we could be hounding them on, if nothing else. If that's all that's left to us, the Treasury announces the start of the extraordinary measures as the U.S. hits its debt ceiling. Somebody's keeping track of these trillions. And so now those measures kick in. You'll see what they are. Pretty interesting. It's really just a contraction of the expenditures of government and really more in reinvestment, which I thought was interesting, which I don't quite understand. They won't reinvest more. And so the point, I guess, is the economy, the investment pool, things to invest in are not going to be there. And so they're anticipating that ahead of the fact of their fall. So they're not going to be in those markets when they do collapse. Let's look at it that way, I suppose, that the extraordinary headaches, that this extraordinary measures will be made here because the United States lawmakers created this debt ceiling in World War I, haven't removed it, haven't removed the reason for it, used as an excuse to expand government on your full faith and credit, they say. And Yellen is saying now moving forward is a considerable uncertainty. Now these measures are becoming the headache of the government to keep up with. Now she has to go to work. I wonder how upset she is about that. She now gets to pull these strings that the law has given to her to the whatever extent they are as we play the game until July or whenever, as the Republicans, I hope, don't lead you on and deceive you, that they're going to try and do something that would actually correct things. Bad news for thousands of crypto investors, they don't own their accounts. And so, this is another deception. If you didn't read close on your private thing, we're now in finances, money, and how this is moving for a digital future. We go through this default. Watch how that gets put in and made an emergency to require digital stuff. I'm watching for that one, too. Don't forget about that little game that's going to happen as they try to correct things, right? We got to have a necessity to do this. It's a national emergency now. Bad news for thousands of crypto investors that they don't own their accounts was a condition of the agreements you consented to when you agreed to participate in some of these crypto exchanges. And this company is showing you, this case shows you in a bankruptcy condition how their website explained you didn't own your account. If you didn't pay attention to that, you didn't know you didn't own the account. And this is what sits inside all these contracts that we just don't give more than 2 seconds thought about in your phones, in your investments, whatever is going on, and also partly how the power comes to regulate this in the future. So those of you that didn't, may already know, if you invested in those, you already know you didn't have it. Those of you that don't, here's a notice. Be careful what you agree to. You better understand the fine print. And then you have to wait till, let's say, a bankruptcy judge declares that for sure. As we find out, the cash is king. It's the control. Again, an evidence that why they want to go technocratically into digital, why they need to have you on a phone and infrastructure, which I guess could have a glitch. Let's hire the two contractors for the FAA to manage your database. Secretive program spies on American cash transfers. Database aimed at fighting money laundering is being used to bulk surveillance, says a Senator Ron Wyden. And you can read this story about how over 600 U.S. law enforcement officers have accessed little-known database tracking every money transfer above $500 for almost a decade, circumventing any protection that you might have. Again, these third-party liabilities and vulnerabilities to us are terrible. This all has to be adjusted. I don't like Ron Wyden, but he's somehow got found out. He got found out, and they had some dirt on him, and now he's been after this privacy stuff. I have to partly agree with him on this relative to at least letting us know, but again, do they do anything? Does anything really come of it but to promote the ability of the government to come after you in the future, whether or not you understand that, even on your best read websites and understanding everything, as we then see moving into the social money transferring tracking system of the future. I found this, all these stories are interesting as they come along all together. Elon Musk says PayPal is moving in the direction of social credit. Well, okay, Mr. Musk, we kind of know that, and why are you saying that? Well, Elon Musk is I think he was a co-founder of PayPal. And so this became an interesting thing where we realized that Elon Musk is promoting that Twitter, wants it to be the all thing. He wants it to be like a WeChat. He wants it to be a payment center. And he comes out on something he co-founded, probably with a future intent to do this, and points to the other guy and says, oh, this is going to be social credit. Well, in the discussion, he also admits he wants to become a payment clearance company and move later into debit cards and checks and whatnot. It's only another tactic to get him like he's telling you some truth that you can confide in and trust, when in fact he's going to be the next step of what PayPal was going to be along the lines of bringing on the total inclusive technocratic control. Like I said, I like the guy, what he does. I don't trust him. It's very interesting what he says in this article. You need to see how this works, the deception that comes right up. I'll blame the other guy, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm setting up to do the very same thing, but more comprehensively, while you hand me your verification bucks and all your bank accounts, because he says they get to know all that. As South Korea fines Tesla, the EV manufacturer will have to pay around $2.2 million for what has become labeled incorrect advertising, false advertising, deception. I assume they have an answer to this. The point is a country is coming up and saying, hey, you misinform people on the actual power that can be generated by the batteries and their longevity. And that was bad enough that we have to come and question you and challenge you on that. And in cold weather, you never really told us it really don't work that well. In other words, Elon Musk's company will deceive you. As Twitter intentionally ends third-party app developer access to its APIs, my point here, it's up to them to do what they're going to do with their APIs, but they didn't give any warning. So, my view on that is Elon Musk's company Twitter was cutting out people that supported Twitter in the beginning to make it what it was, without warning, without notice, will heartlessly cut you out of your digital account when you go and be the all thing through Twitter, where he's managing as any other intermediary like MasterCard through to the federal treasury on your coin and your token directly. He will have no qualms of just cutting you off without notice. And I hope that starts to impress you on the precariousness of the future they want, that they're putting on, that we're agreeing to without a squeak of crickets on that. We are really going to have to work out much more strenuously how this is not proper and who we might go tell to stop and get them to stop. And if they don't have, and they have an authority and they don't, then they need to be moved out. Even if it's as slow and premature as we thought Jacinda Holland did. Well, I hope something I said today was help you. Look around, protect yourself locally. Cash is king, right? So they're trying to take that away. Even the fiat, and they're making a worse system. I hope you can use some of the information to defend yourself in the future, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.